Big Brother national champion, Byron Newtown with me today. Hey, brother, man, I appreciate you joining me, taking time out your busy schedule to join me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem, man. You know, I'm just here, man. Met my man Travis over the weekend, big Turk football win. Like I said, you know, he was one of the guys that I showed around campus, you know, and eventually he signed with Maryland. So, like a big brother to him, a little brother to me.
Hey, people don't know that, man. My first experience on campus, man, is when, you know, I came up there, man, to spend some time with you in the room, man, playing video games when we were just hanging out, man. And, you know, even during that time, man, you gave me a lot of great advice and, you know, what to look forward to and how things were, man. So I definitely appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem, man. No problem. Anytime, man. Just love the experience, man, just being a player for the University of Maryland. So,
hey, so let's jump right into it, man. Okay. So I know right before, you know, you came to Maryland, you was at Tulane, right?
Yep.
You was at Tulane. So when your time was up at Tulane, you decided to make that jump to Maryland. What made you make that decision to come to Maryland, you know, because you're from Louisiana, right?
Yep. So it's a crazy situation, man. I never forget when I was in high school, your boy Dave Dickerson, he actually wasn't coming to visit me or recruit me. We played in a little tournament in Texas. This guy named Ron Humphrey, he was a big-time player back then. And I think he went to either Oklahoma. I think he went to Oklahoma first, and he transferred to Notre Dame. And then in that situation, I kind of had a connection with Dave Dickerson. And then I told him, man, you know what, man? I think I'm going to commit to Kentucky out of high school. So long story short, Rick Pitino ended up leaving, went coach at the Boston Celtics. I was pissed. I was upset. I thought Rick Pitino just lied to me. So I wanted to go to LSU. The old LSU was on probation. The next best thing was Tulane. So I went to Tulane, man. I had a great freshman year. I think I was like 16, 17. Me and Larry Hughes was the best two young players in that league. Obviously, Larry Hughes was a lottery pick, one and done. So I had two average seasons as a team, you know, 500, and I was like, man, this is not going to work. I'm so used to winning, man.
Right.
So I went to the coach. I said, man, it's not working. You know, I gave him the sob about I'm too close to home and stuff like this, man. I need a change. So my brother and sister live in the Maryland area. So I visit Maryland. I visit Kentucky again at UConn. And honestly, man, the reason why I chose Maryland because I had family. And I said, if it doesn't work out basketball-wise, shoot, I got family, you know, so.
Right. Man, that is a crazy story, man. A lot of people, a lot of people probably didn't even know all that. I don't think I even knew all that, man.
Yeah, man, I can commit in Kentucky at verbal because, you know, Rick Pitino, man, came to my school, man. It was like a parade, you know, because back then, Kentucky, man, was it. You know what I'm saying? Right. Of course. And he came in that joint, and I really love Rick Pitino because he came in that joint was like, listen, I got one scholarship left, and I'm being real blunt and honest. Whoever signed first out of you or Lamar Odom, that's it. That's who's going to get it. That's it. So I was like, shoot, I'm nervous. Shoot, I want to go to Kentucky. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, that's how that panned out, man. So
now, I bet you a lot of Maryland fans, man, glad that you didn't make that decision.
Yeah. I love my Maryland fans, man, alumni, man. Till this day, man, I thought it would be over, man, but still till this day, man, they all appreciate, you know, stuff that me and the University of Maryland, you know, my teammates and everybody did for the University of Maryland, man. Like I say, man, you know, I think it was over, you know, two Final Fours, great teammates, great support system and the fans and the students, man. And I thought it was over, man, till this day, almost 20 years later, people still say thank you, you know. It's right. Crazy.
Of course.
Yeah.
Hey, because I did some big things, man. So, Tell me this, and I'm pretty sure that other people probably want to know, man. What was your experience like your first day on campus and you know, getting with the new teammates, man, and then, you know, first day of practice with Coach G-Dub, man. Like, what was that experience like one of your first experiences?
Well, man, you know, man, when I first came to Maryland, man, I had a meeting with the coaching staff, and you know, it was so weird, man. I walked into the coach's room with all the coaches, and it was like, Mouton, man, you know, the problem with our team is we don't really have nobody with personality. You know, there's no enthusiasm, you know. We just don't have no personality to our team, man. You know, I yell at them guys. Gary said, hey, you guys just look at me with the stone face. I said, Coach, man, I'm going to help you change that, man. You know, it's crazy, Travis, man. The first, I never forget, man, you can ask Lonnie, man, because Lonnie always sees me. So the first day of practice, man, I dive in the locker room, man, start barking at everybody. So everybody, from day one, everybody thought I was crazy, man. You know, so he's crazy, alligator catching, wrestling dude, man, just come to the locker room, start barking at everybody. So, you know, I just wanted to change the atmosphere, you know, with the team, man, because Coach, you know, said there was no personality, man. And, right. You know, myself, man, I'm a passionate, emotional type player. You know, at right. the time, you know, everybody thought I was bipolar because I'm super calm and collective off court. But when I'm on the court, man, it's a whole new world. You know what I'm saying? So real passionate about the game of basketball. So
right. And I know G-Dub loved that, man. Cause you know,
oh, my God.
Super intense guy, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, if you don't match his intensity, man, he going to let you know about God. It.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's crazy thing about it, man. You know, G-Dub, man, like I can sit here and think about it. Maybe, I don't even know, man. Maybe twice out of the 3 years I was there that Coach even yelled at me. I can't even remember when. I think it was like maybe one or two times, man, in 3 years, if that. You know what I'm saying? Because I was just a more passionate. I always go hard, man. You ain't never got to worry about me. You know what I'm saying? So,
right. Man, and definitely, man. And, you know, I just – And I know, because if you one of those intense type players like I is, or you always yeah. like, and he don't have to really, because even with you guys, man, you know, I came to a couple of practices and games. I mean, he didn't really have to do too much because you guys yeah. are already so in tune and so like getting at it that it was, he didn't really have to do too much. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. You're absolutely right, man. I think the practices, man, was so back then, man. Like maybe Earl. You know, rest in peace, Earl and Wine, because they grew up together. Them little jokers, man. They get into it because of their friendship, not because of basketball. But like, right. I look at it, man. Like Wine and Earl, probably the only ones that got into it. But it's more like friendship type thing, and then right. basketball. But you know, it was just so intense, man. And the games was easy, man, because the practice, man. Oh my God, I mean, everybody on the team can really, really play. You know what right. I'm saying? From 1 to right. 15, like it was no. Oh, man, don't even put him in practice. He ain't going to go hard now, man. But everybody played super hard. Practice was super intense.
Right. So what was the – can you talk about – I know you said it was pretty intense, but, like,
yeah.
like even when that when y'all made that first – your first year there, when y'all made that run to the y'all first Final Four, what was that like? What was that experience like? What was that experience like for you, just even making it that far? I think that was – Vernon's first Final Four ever. So
yeah, it was. First of all, like when I first got there, and then just give you a little history, a little background. You know, we went to the Sweet 16 our first year. Like, and you know, Jimmy Passos and you know Billy Hines and them, and they came to us like, you know, this could be our first opportunity to pass the Sweet 16. And I'm like, God dang, Maryland had so many great teams, man. They never made it past the Sweet 16. Right. That was crazy for me, right. you know, to even believe that. And then I said, Coach, it's going to be our year, man. And then when we passed the Sweet 16, then, Elite Eight, the Final Four. And then, you know, it was incredible, man, because tell this day, Travis, man, you know, I'm just a competitive. I love the game of basketball, man. I just wish, and I tell everybody that's cool with me or we have, you know, long conversation, man, I just think that we could have won two national championships, man. You know, that whole – down by 22, you know, in the Final Four, man, and let Duke come back and beat us. I know, you know, Steve Blake, you know, was in foul trouble. Lonnie fouled out, but, you know, that was an incredible experience. I think that first Final Four motivated us for that next Final Four because we were just so amped, man. I'm like, man, this is incredible, man. Wow, look at all these people, you know. Right. We're going to win the whole thing next year, you know.
Right. And man, I know just as a person, a young guy, just watching you guys, man. Like I said, I used to come to y'all pickup games and the pickup games on the summertime, and you know, just seeing how hard you guys worked. And I knew what was happening. Then you know, your last year there, you know, then Chris Wilcox really came to his own.
Yeah,
I mean, that just like, man, transformed things. You know, so can you talk about that run and that experience going to that? Now you got a taste of the Final Four. Now, I know y'all, like you said, man, y'all was amped. Like, man, there's no reason why we can't get back in.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, you know, that year, I don't know if you remember, but that year, we was up by 9 or 10 points with a minute left versus Duke.
I was there. I mean, that was the craziest situation. I think I left early.
Everybody thought the game was over, man. Them Gokers came back and beat us in overtime, man. And then, you know, we were so emotional about that game, man. I think we ended up losing like 3 games in a row just because that game was so emotional, man. And I think that's what got us, you know, that passion and you know, our coming together, because everybody booing Coach. I never forget it. They booing him and all this other stuff. So, you know, man, going to that first Final Four, that summertime, man, we had the best probably in the Maryland, D.C., Virginia, man. There was a lot of pros coming down to play with us because, you know, they figured we had the best pickup, man, the best players in the area, man. And that pickup over the summer, man, and the training and also, that's all we was thinking about, the summertime, man. When we got to the summer, man, we just – nobody went home. Just so intense to home. Like, we playing against pros. And then coming into the season, our final year, man, it just, like, it was so focused, man. It was like – it's hard to explain, Travis, man, but it was just so – we were just so focused as players and as coaches. And, like, we're not going to let this one slip away. So I don't care what people say or what distractions people try to put in front of us. We're not, you know, let nothing distract us to get to this Final Four and potential win it. So
exactly, man. So and like I said, man, that was, I mean, y'all will always be known in history, man. First of all, winning the school's first national championship.
Yeah.
Even what was your experience like playing at Cole Fieldhouse? Because I played there in high school. I played there in high school, but it wasn't the same experience as, you know, we had a good crowd, but like,
yeah,
the fans, man, and you know how hot the gym was. How was still? I used to go in there, but it'd be cold outside.
Yeah, man. Winter basketball at Cole Fieldhouse is one of the best, if not the best, experience in the history of college basketball. You know, a lot of people talk about Duke. You know, Duke is a great atmosphere, but you know, man, that arena, man. Like I said, it's a bowl arena. It ain't like the new Xfinity here where you got seats almost 80 feet in the air. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Players look like little dots, you know what I'm saying? But every seat in Cole Fieldhouse was a great seat, man. And you know, University of Maryland now, it's a different type of student. You know, you got to your grades, your SAT, ACT, got to be a certain school. But now back then, man, anybody could get in Maryland. So we had rowdy fans, man. You know what I'm saying? Somebody threw something at Carlos Bruiser mom, man. A bottle, a nickel or something. So that we had the craziest fans, man, back then, man. And that's what the atmosphere, like I said, because of the college student, man, and the type of fans that we had, man, they're so passionate about the game of basketball. And like I said, man, the atmosphere was – and at the same time, Travis, the Redskins, you know, I think the Ravens was pretty decent, but the Redskins and the Wizards was awful, god awful. You know what I'm saying? So everybody, mom was coming to our game. It was the hottest ticket in or on the East Coast. You know what I'm saying? Celebrities trying to get in that joint. So it was crazy, man. Walking down like movie stars.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Like I said, I used to come and hang around you guys a little bit, man. But like I said, just to see you guys is how y'all handle things, man. It was just like, man, like. It was, yeah, I enjoy life off the court, you know what I mean? But y'all knew when it was time to get to work, man, and get down to it. Y'all was all about it. Even like, man, y'all, your team closed out Cole Fieldhouse. Your team closed out Cole Fieldhouse, and y'all won a national championship that year. So, man, it's like so much history right there alone, man. Just when y'all beat, because Virginia was y'all last game in Cole Fieldhouse.
Exactly. Yeah.
Virginia, last game in Cole Fieldhouse. I was at that game. Oh, wow. And it was crazy, man. It was the intensity, man. How was it like being a player in that atmosphere, knowing that was the last game in Cole Fieldhouse ever?
Well, Travis, you know, it was my last game, period. So for me personally, man, I was so emotional, man. Like my college career coming to the end, last game in Cole Fieldhouse. Mm-hmm. I love playing for Gary Wade. I love my teammates. I love the assistant coach. I love these fans at the University of Maryland, how they support me, you know, on and off of court, man. It was one of the, like I tell everybody, the University of Maryland experience is probably the second best experience in the history of my life because of what it brought to me as a man and the people that mold me to the person I'm in today, except, you know, my high school team. because I tell everybody those guys I grew up with, you know, as a child, and we have cousins and friends and stuff like that. So it's so, you know, natural to want to be around those guys because I grew up with a guy. But the next best thing is my experience, you know, at the University of Maryland, man. Like I said, man, that was the most incredible experience, you know, of my life, man, and how much support as a player I got from my teammates. You know, my brother died when I was at Maryland too, so, you know, that's another big thing for me too, man. So I love my support, man, of my teammates. They, you know, Juan, parents, stuff, situation. Gary Wheaton had something going on with his family. So, you know, it was a lot, man. There's a lot of adversity when I played for Maryland, man. And like I said, I can't thank Coach Williams, my teammates, and the assistant coaches and the family to support our team the way it did, because we had some adversity, especially that Final Four year with my brothers. And, you know, Juan had some stuff going on. Coach Williams had some stuff going on. So, you know, like I said, man, I give Coach Williams everything because he helped me become a man more than just be a player that helped him win a national championship. So I really appreciate Coach Williams and his coaching staff. So,
absolutely, man. Like I said, man, I was around. I was coming to some of the games and practices, man. I seen it, man. Like I seen it firsthand.
Yeah.
That winning pedigree, man, and what y'all guys was doing and how locked in y'all were, man. How on point y'all guys were, you know what I mean? So, man, like I said, man, it's definitely. Like I said, man, y'all went down in history. You know what I mean? Like, that y'all history. That's why you said, man, you 20 years later, people are still talking about it. Y'all did something special for the University of Maryland, man. So I can just only imagine. I got like a 5% taste of that when we won the ACC championship. I got like a 5% taste of that, man. But, you know what I mean, just bringing that history to Maryland, man, I know that was a special thing. Quick question, man. Like, so what was either – one of your, besides winning the national championship, what was like one of the craziest moments, or to be the funniest moment or most special moment at Maryland for you, man? Like, you say, man, I'll never forget that. Like, that was.
Well, know. Travis, this is probably the craziest, weirdest situation. So, I think it was me and Taj Holder, or me and Calvin. I can't remember who started it, man. So we had these water guns, right? We had these water guns, man, just goofing around, whatever, man. And then we walking around campus, man. I think we shot one of the football players, man. And it became one of the biggest water gun fights in the history of water gun fights, man. The football team got involved. The basketball team got involved. The Chili's got involved. And it was a lot. It was about 2,000 random students got involved. So it was the craziest, biggest water gun fight I had ever been in my life. So every time you walk outside, man, somebody tried to get you, man. It's just, it was almost like the Halo back in the day, the Xbox game. So you had to always protect yourself, man. So we all walking around campus with water guns, man. Like, that joint was the craziest, most funniest experience I ever had outside of basketball on campus, man.
Right. Hey, man. I can only imagine.
Yeah, that joke was huge, man. That's a huge, the biggest water gun fight I ever seen in my life. Everybody was involved, man. That was crazy. You know, Muggs, you know, I was in my room, Cal. I had a shotgun, I had a pistol, I had a single on the back. I had like 5 guns, man, trying to figure out which one I'm going to take out today, man. It lasted, bro. That water gun fight lasted about 4 or 5 days, man. That was crazy. I had like 5 guns, man. I'll never forget that, man. That was crazy, man. Trying to figure out which water gun I'm going to take to class. That's crazy. That was crazy, man. That was the biggest water gun fight ever.
Hey, bro. Hey,
that's fun, too, man. All fun.
Yeah, man, that's what's up, man. Hey, that's what, man, I tell people all the time, man. Like, my first 2 years on campus, man, it was probably like one of the most fun. Because we still was riding off the high of y'all winning the championship. And then notice, like you said, the SAT score and the tuition to get in didn't quite make that jump after.
Exactly.
Probably like maybe like a 2 years or 3 years after I was there. That's when it kind of like they hiked it up. So we still was getting some of that. You know, some people were still seniors, man. You know, Blake and them guys were still there. So we still was on that high a little bit, man. So I got a little bit of taste of that fun, man, which was dope. I know y'all won the national championship, man. I wasn't there. I was in New York at the time, but I just seen the big riot when they did the big fire. So y'all came back and y'all came into that, right? Like that was like
Yeah. And you know, when we were still part of the ACC, man, like it got so wild and crazy, man. You know, like after that, I don't know if you remember or noticed that you know, they didn't want to have no Duke games at night. You know what I'm saying? All the Duke games had to be at noon, you know. Wow. Yeah. So cause it was just so crazy, man. And, you know, they're riding all the time and then, you know, bonfires, man. I think somebody got injured. I mean, they had a bonfire, man. That joint was like 50 feet tall, man. And fraternity row, man. That joint was crazy.
Yeah, I saw that.
Telling you, man, back then, man, that's a rowdy. But I love them though, man, because they love Maryland basketball, man. They love Maryland sports, man. Them students were rowdy, man. And I love it. You know what I'm saying? So it was crazy.
Absolutely, man. Now, like I said, man, I tell people all the time, man, my college experience was really good, man, in regards to the social life, man, because of the fans and just the student body, man. It was really a good time. So when you was transitioning and now y'all done won the national championship, you had a great career at Maryland, and now you're moving on to the pro career. What was that experience like, even going through the draft process and working out with different teams? And, you know, I think you was with the Celtics for a second, right?
Yeah. So, you know, man, it's crazy, man. I look at back and, you know, obviously I'm coaching, man. I've been coaching for almost 10 years now, you know. So, you know, back then, man, Travis, you know, it's position players. Either you're a point guard, you're a shooting guard, you're a small forward, power forward, center. You know, as me as a player, man, I was stuck in between position 2-3. So, you know, listed as a tweener. So it was hard for me to find a job playing in the NBA, you know. So I ended up playing in Europe, you know, France, played in Germany, played a little bit in Italy, played in China. But, you know, it's crazy how this day in basketball, man, you could be 6'6 and be a power forward. But, you know, so I tell everybody, man, if I played in this generation of basketball, man, I'd be a lottery pick, man. You know, because my intensity, my level, I don't care who I guard. I can play small. I can play big, you know. But, you know, my goal, honestly, my goal after college was just only play ball for 5 years, man, just to make enough money to be an entrepreneur, because I didn't want to work for nobody, man. Just wanted to be an entrepreneur, make enough money to start something that I love and passionate about. And I ended up playing for 7 years, you know what I'm saying? So, and then I came back, you know, started some basketball program. And then that's what I've been doing, man, since 2009. So, shoot, you know, I've been doing that, man. So, over 12 years.
And it's called the sixth man, right?
Yeah, sixth man sports, man, you know. We do youth leagues, you know, AAU, we do tournaments, we do after school program, we do mentoring. And like I say, right now I'm helping out, man, at this school called Latham Christian, which this is my fifth year. I won four state championships out of five, you know, with minimum to average players, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, the school, you know, cause at our school, we're not allowed to give athletic scholarships, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I just the goal with me, man, with those kids, man, I just try to make them play as hard as I can. I mean, make them try to play as hard as they can and make them do that and understand that, man, they always gonna give themselves a chance to win. So they bought into it most of the time. So that's why, you know, most of the time the teams are competitive. I mean, we win all the games are super competitive because the kids play extremely hard.
Right.
You know,
question for you, man, because I think I remember, man, back. Even I think when you first started, or even when you was in your early stages, man, when your organization, your teams was called Six Man. What made you call? I kind of know, but what made you give it that name, Six Man? I kind of know, but you know.
Well, you know, a lot of people think they know, but so what happened is, you know, my brother tell everybody the story. I started off the Six Man in Maryland, and you know, came in, and you know, because of the guy Danny Maryland. I never forget that too. We just touch on that for a second. You know, everybody made it a competition because Danny Miller was a McDonald's All-American, you know, and, you know, they got this guy, Byron Mouton, coming in, might take his spot. I said, it never was about that, man. I'm just an outsider coming in. And my thing is, man, I never played off, coming off the bench or minutes. I never been a role player. I always been a guy that starts and play major minutes. So that was my fear, you know, because coming from a place like Tulane, You know, everybody's like, Mouton, what are you doing, man? Why are you transferring up? You know, most guys transfer down to a smaller school so they could be a bigger fish in a smaller school. And I'm like, nah, man, that's – no, I think I'm a big-time player. I just to be honest with you. So I'm going big time. I'm not going down. Right. So anyway, I never forget, man. I like softball, too. I like the softball field. And I don't know how did these reporters knew where I was. They came to the softball field and giving me asking me to do sound bites about – did you hear about Danny Miller transfer? I'm like, what? Is it because of you? I'm like, nah, man. That dude transferred because he got some other personal thing. It ain't never was a battle between me and Danny Miller, man. Right, you know what I'm saying? So that's the story behind that, man. And people think that's the reason. But Travis, the real reason, exclusive. Travis, one of the first people to know this, only because it's his show. I played in China. So I was playing in China. And, you know, in China, man, they got all the cheap fabrics, all because most a lot of people with big business and corporation do a lot of work and have wholesalers in China. So anyway, I was like, you know what, man? I'm gonna create a brand where you as a entrepreneur or you as a average fan as your favorite team, you know, you can get any apparel you want personalized. You can receive it in 24 hours. So my thing would differ from anybody else. You can get anything personalized as your favorite team. Say if you like Maryland, you can get anything custom and I'll ship it to you in 24 hours. So you as a fan is the sixth man. You know what I'm saying? So it's supposed to be sixth man ultimate apparel for the true fan, something like that. You know what I'm saying? So that was the slogan for it. And yeah, that's how it started, man. So I said sixth man. Oh, that's perfect. Any fan is a sixth man. So it's ultimate apparel for the true fan. That's what it was called. So, and then, you know, I stayed in China for a year and a half, something like that. And then I left and I made a contact. And me and the contact said, man, I give you a percentage of it. You know, you still ship the items. We can work together. But my contact was slow on producing the stuff. So I didn't want to sell a product and lie and say I couldn't ship it out in 24 hours. So I kept all the logos and everything, man. And then some parent went to me. I was doing some free clinics, man. It just blew up. And then all of a sudden, somebody approached me about starting the AAU program. So I just kept it as six man. And then I just add sports it behind it. That's how it all happened, man. It's crazy. Yep. It was an apparel company, man. You know? But the craziest thing now is that I do apparel. So.
That's what's up, man. That's I didn't know that.
Exclusive for you, Travis. Everybody thought it was me being a six man to become a starter. But that's the exclusive, man. Just playing in China, man. And I had six man as a fan, and then that's how it started, man, the program. So wow. I just kept the name. Yeah.
That's awesome. And I know that thing is a lot bigger now, man. I think,
oh, my God.
Like 5 years ago, I don't know you had a team. But now, man, it's, man.
I got teams all over, man. I got teams in Maryland, Delaware, Virginia, Louisiana, Arkansas, Oklahoma. You know, got them all over, man. And you know, the most exciting thing and the most proud of, man, we've been doing this since, like I said, I started the high school part of it in 2012. So I don't know, 8-9 years, you know what I'm saying? And the most I'm proud of, man, we got over 70 or 80 kids that got scholarship playing for us, you know what I'm saying? So, and a lot of these kids, quote unquote, got cut from the bigger, quote unquote, sponsor shoe company teams, you know what I'm saying? Saying it wasn't good enough. Or they're not talented enough. Y'all need too much work. And we got over 80 of those kids, man, that people just wrote off, man. And we got them to school for free. So that's the most important thing that comes out of it, man, giving a kid opportunity when somebody tells them or judge them and say they're not good enough to play on the next level. You know what I'm saying?
So that's awesome, man. I think it's really needed, man, especially somebody of your caliber that's been there, done that, and been proven to come back and take those kids and show kids, like, look, man, it don't matter where you start at, man. Why don't you just put the work in and do what you got to do, it can pay off. And, you know, I mean, the proof is in the pudding, you know. So, man, that's awesome, man. You're doing some great work, man. Before I let you go, got to tell me about the experience. I think Nick Caramelli just posted a picture a video of y'all playing in New York at Rucker Park, and y'all playing this.
Hey, so, you know, Travis, you know, with my man, like I said, I love Kobe, man. You know, I talked to Kobe a couple of times, man. And, you know, man, so So when Kobe died and his anniversary, you know, that video went viral again. You know, it's all over there and that, everything. Like, Bhutan, that's you. You getting cooked by Kobe. You know, that's you, Bhutan. I said, yeah, that's me. So another exclusive, Travis. This is for you, Travis. You know what I'm saying? Because it's your show. So I go over there, man. Your boy, Black Riley. You know what I'm saying? Rodney, coaching the team. So I get there fresh off a national championship, Travis. Fresh off. Kobe just won 3 in a row. You know what I'm saying? So I get there, my man, what's his name? I forgot his name, Eric or Mark, whatever. The dude was in charge. I think he died, man, about 4 or 5 years ago. So I get there. It was like, Bhutan, we already know you're aggressive. You're a rough player. You know, you love playing D, but you're not allowed to touch Kobe. Whatever you do, don't touch Kobe, man. You know, because wow. It's like historic, you know what I'm saying? This is one of the biggest moments in the history of Record Park, and Kobe can't get there and get hurt, you know what I'm saying? So this is a moment, which is now is a moment, you know what I'm saying? In the history of Record Park, that one of the greatest players to ever play basketball is at Record Park, so we can't have Kobe get hurt. He said, play deep, but whatever you do, Bhutan, know you're aggressive. Don't touch Kobe. So you can tell, yeah, I'm trying to guard him, but I ain't trying to really touch him, you know what I'm saying? Because that's what they told me not to do, you know what I'm saying? So, but, you know, it was a great experience, man. Then I went up to Kobe, man. You know, Kobe, I never forget this moment too, man. Like at the jump ball, Kobe came to me and said, congratulations on your national championship. I'm like, wow, you know what I'm saying? Kobe watch, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, Kobe, like, look, what do you mean, man? You just won 3 world championships in a row, you know what I'm saying? So he was like, man, let me tell you something, man. You know, I ain't never played college ball, man. It's only one team, you know, that can win a national championship, and it's 64 of them that's trying to get there. You know what I'm saying? Win it. So it's way harder to win a national championship. And then an NBA championship, man, me, Shaq, you know, you got some other good players, man. You guaranteed to win the world championship in NBA because you got the better players. You know what I'm saying? So, and then you play 7 games. And then back then, maybe the first round was 5 games, but you got 5 or 7 times to beat a team. In college basketball, it's only 1 game. And I'm like, oh, he's absolutely right, man. But Kobe, man, it was a pleasure, man. You know, it was an incredible experience. The atmosphere was ridiculous, man. And like I said, man, people don't know, man, that game got rained out, you know, at halftime. But that halftime, just the opportunity to guard Kobe, actually to have a moment to talk to him was probably one of the best basketball moments in my life. You know what I'm saying? For one of the greatest players to ever play the game. So I would cherish that moment. I could say, bro, y'all can say whatever y'all want. How many of y'all guard Kobe? You know what I'm saying? God dang, it's Kobe Bryant, man.
Hey, nah, man. I kind of forgot about it because I know Roddy wanted to go there a couple times with y'all, man.
Yeah.
Nick posted that. I think it was Kobe's birthday or something like that.
Exactly. Yep.
He posted that picture, man. I didn't, man. I kind of forgot about it. Yeah. I was like, bring it up. But nah, man. I definitely want to congratulate you on everything, man. And you know. Still doing it. I was talking to Ricky Gomez, man. And he's still,
oh yeah, that's my man.
Man, you've been an MVP. I said, man, I've been doing it, man. I said, man, look, man, because man, your energy, man, and how you play, hey, man. Just seem like, man, like you ain't aging, your body ain't hurting.
I know, man. But Trav, let me tell you something, man. At one point, I was like 255 or something like that, and then you know, just for the audience and people listening, man. You know, when you get an age, man, I'm over 40, man, you got to take care of your body, man, because at the end of the day, you want to live a long life. Like I said, I got a daughter, she's 9, man, and I want to be here as long as possible for her. You know what I'm saying? So one crazy day I watched, you know, pretty much the same thing called Game Changer with Arnold Schwarzenegger, man. Just a plant-based diet, trying to eat better, man, in the moment. Because, you know, man, back then, man, I used to take all types of naps, man. Take all types of nights. And then when I start watching that, man, change my diet, start eating better, stop eating late at night, shoot, man, and then lost about 15 pounds, man. And then I feel it. I don't take no more naps. You know, I play ball. I don't get sore, stiff, or nothing, man. It's just eating better, man, and focus mentally and you know, just putting the right stuff in your body. And it's true, man. It's absolutely true, man. You got to just, when you get older, man, you got to watch what you put in your body, man. because that could affect, you know, all types of stuff. So I'm just eating better, man, sleeping the right way, man, sleeping when you're supposed to sleep and not staying up all time of night and try to, you know, go to sleep at 2 and wake up at 6 and then go to sleep at 12 and take a 2 to 3 o'clock nap. You know what I'm saying? Stop all that stuff. So, yeah, man, my man Ricky, man, you know, he got a lot of stuff going on, man. I play in a lot of his teams, man. I'm just excited that I still can play, man. So, and that's my form of conditioning, you know, between that and, you know, I still play a little softball. So that's my condition, because I never was that type of guy to go to the gym and just lift weights and run on a treadmill. So I really play some pickup, play some leagues, play some softball, and keep it going, man, because I still love it. So,
man, that's what's up, man. Hey, your daughter, Bree, man, she tall too. You got her playing basketball? I think she played a little bit, right?
Or? Yeah, she played a little bit, man. But, you know, man, Travis, man, you know, I want her to play, but so many bad coaches out here, man. So, you know, man, I'm not going to force her. I talked to her mom. You know, I'm going to be honest with you, man. I hope she swim. I hope she be a cheerleader. I hope she plays soccer. Because I got so much knowledge in the game of basketball, and I could tell a fake from a mile away. You know what I'm saying? So there's so many bad coaches. And there's some good coaches out there, man. But I just hope that she plays something else. But, you know, people ask me to coach her, you know, start a tier. I don't want to coach her, man. You know what I'm saying? I just want to be a dad, man. And I'm excited to be a dad and opportunity to watch her. Because she's tall, man. She got a great opportunity to play sports because she's athletic, right, you know. And I just want to watch her, man. I just want to be a dad, man, and watch her play sports. I don't want to coach her, you know. So, you know, whenever she's – I don't want to be that guy to put pressure on her. So whenever she decides to really focus and zone in and want to play basketball – because we play on and off, you know. Like, she tried to play a little bit this summer. She was excited about it. But, you know, she's still 9 years old. You know what I'm saying? But everybody look at it, think she's a fifth, sixth grade, you know.
Right, exactly.
Oh, man. So – yeah.
Nah, man. But yeah, man, I ain't gonna take too much of your time, man. I really appreciate you joining Go Terps with Travis Garrison on the Field of Six Sig Networks, man. I appreciate everything you did for me, man. Even though you be getting on me a lot, man. But now,
yeah, man, I got you, man. You my little brother, man. I got it, man. Stay focused, brother. You know, I love you, man. And at the same time, I always appreciate you, man. I'm glad you're doing big things to yourself, man. Like I said, man, that's just me, man. I don't want to be fake to you. I don't want to be, you know, beat around the bush, man. I just want, like I say, I just want to be honest, man, and stay on you, man, because like I say, you're a young man, got a lot of stuff going on for you, man. Just stay focused, man. Put God and family first, man. Everything going to be great. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, so, man. Hey, like, man, like I said, man, you're doing a lot of great things, man. You continue to get bigger, man. A lot of people still love you, man, and still appreciate doing and did. Man, keep going. I'm definitely going to try to connect with you too, man.
Yes, sir. Stuff. Yeah, man.
Yeah, I definitely appreciate you even taking time out your day, man, and just joining us on this on my podcast, man. Definitely appreciate you, brother. Just want to let you know that, man.
All right, thanks, man. Anytime.
Thank you, bro.